Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about beautifying your home without breaking the bank, Lorna. $100,000. Settle her down. My guests are Lorna Gross Bryant, president of Lorna Gross Interior Design, Megan Brown, project manager with Development Management Associates, and Sean Clark, a frugal interior design shopper. Lines are open. Give us a call if you have a question or a comment at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Nadia, calling from Gaithersburg. Thanks for calling, Nadia. What's on your mind?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Fisher. This is Nadia again.
Hi, how are you?
As you know, I'm good, good. As you know, I bought my first home ever.
Hey, that's right. Yeah, I remember that.
I'm house poor, Mr. Fisher. I'm house poor.
Well, wait a minute. Where's my housewarming invitation? I had a toaster for you.
This summer, you remember I said I'm going to combine it with my citizenship celebration and my kids' graduation?
That's right. That's right. Well, keep moving on. So what's your question?
My question is, like I said, I'm a house poor now. And I need to know where the bargain. I'm not a bargain hunter. I'm really very challenged in this decoration, interior design. Like you said, when I hear the word interior design, I'm expecting like $100, you know, thousands of dollars to decorate. I kind of like the low-key contemporary style, like IKEA furniture, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That's a place to go to. But this is something I don't know, the quality, how long they last. Stuff like that. I really don't know where to go to get this bargain, where to go, how to start, what to...
Well, let me see if Sean can help you out with that. Sean, go right ahead.
Hi, Nadia. How are you? I think one thing that you could probably start with is definitely check out your local TJ Maxx or Ross. They have great items there that are, I assume, would fit your budget. And just take your time. Make it a process that you enjoy. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. I think that's the other thing that happens when we first get a new home. We can make it a frustrating experience, and it shouldn't be that, because just as happy as you were with your new home, your shopping experience should be that as well. So that's just to name a few. There are other places that you could actually go to. There are plenty of boutiques in the DMV area that sells nice things that you can find. I mean, don't sleep on a good, can't think of the store now. It went out of my head, but
like an antique store, or maybe even a thrift store, or something
thrift
like that.
Store, yeah. Also too has them, and also too like your good old Walmart sometimes has a piece that you might like, and you can just expand from that. So use the things that's in your area first before you decide to expand further out, and then it'll begin to grow. You'll start to see things that you really you have your eye on, or something that you really want.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nadia, thank you.
That's a great point, Sean, because
go right ahead.
Both Home Goods mm-hmm. and Target have great items.
They do.
And interestingly, Home Goods actually has discontinued items that are very high end.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot too. Megan, you wanted to say something?
Sure. I also wanted to add, think about like a Habitat for Humanity Restore or Community Forklift in this area.
Community Forklift?
Sure. It's where products are sold that have been salvaged from homes. So it could be appliances. It could be antique fireplace mantles. And it's part of the benefit is you get it at a great price, and it keeps it out of the landfill. So you're helping your pocketbook and ultimately helping the environment as well.
And I would imagine in some of those places you can negotiate prices.
Potentially.
Nadia, let me say this. I always negotiate those
always
prices.
Negotiate. I like that.
There you go.
I just have a comment. Is those websites you guys mentioned, are they going to be in the, Mr. Fisher, are they going to be in the website where I can juggle down? It's hard for me to juggle down all those websites.
Well, what I'll do is, as always, I'll post the information on the program, and there will be contact information on the website for our guests.
All right. Well, I thank you very much, and I thank you, Mr. Fisher, for always being informative.
Absolutely, and looking forward to that citizenship thing. You know, you just hang in there, Nadia.
You got it.
All right. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about beautifying your home, renovating, decorating on a dime or maybe a few dimes. Bernadette calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Bernadette. What's on your mind?
Hi. It's great to hear this show this evening. I wanted to find out, because both of your guests indicated that your home should be warm and spiritual in some regard, but I wanted to find out what colors would they actually recommend that represents, especially for a master bathroom, master bedroom, for relaxation, comfort, and sex.
Okay. I would imagine that would depend on your taste, wouldn't it?
Yes. I would say that when selecting a color, right, it's going to be something that feeds you. You know, blues for a lot of people can tend to be calming. Watercolors, you know, colors like water can be very calming. But if for you it feels too low key, you might, you know, you could even look to your wardrobe. Look at the colors that you wear on a daily basis, or the colors that you choose, you know, a shirt or dress that you wear and really makes you feel good. You could think about that and start to build your palette that way.
Absolutely, because there is a psychology to color. There are certain colors, such as a vibrant yellow, that will automatically give you a lift, but you might not want to have it in a space that's supposed to be very cool and calming. And blues and greens are very nice for bathrooms because they are kind of water-related, but also very calming at the same time.
Okay.
And I want to say also, too, think about the calming foods that you eat that has color. You think about coffee. I know a lot of people don't think of brown being calming, but if you think of a cappuccino or, the color of wine, you know, you think about a red, not a bright red, but a red can be calming to some people.
Okay. Well, Bernadette, thank you so much. Good luck to you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Angela calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Angela. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hey.
Just 1 year from being a new homeowner.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Seems like you're always discovering your home.
Yeah.
Daily. don't ask me why I didn't figure this out. I take care of my mother to make sure she was set, and didn't realize that my upstairs closets are on the slanted roof side. Mm. So I don't have full tall closets. Mm. They're slanted closets. So I'm wondering, other than maybe getting a wardrobe, I'm wondering is what could I do about that? Because they're very low.
Sure.
And of course, the deeper you go back, the lower they get, because like I said, it's on a slant. It's just, it's a nightmare. Sure. I have a one of those, I guess, department store sort of rolling racks in there right now, but it's just not very space efficient. It's really driving me crazy.
Well, one thing that's very interesting is how we're talking about interiors, architecture, design, and we're going in so many scales from house size now down to a very intimate scale of the closet. I would ask, are there items that you could potentially fold and have on shelves or have in drawers instead that wouldn't have to hang?
I currently have a bureau now, a tall one that I do, and I do sort of like the cylindrical folding of many T-shirts of mine. So I currently do that, but I guess I'm trying to eliminate too much things on the floor. I'm trying to move things up, if you will. So yes, I currently do that, but I'm out of space. The only space that I really could utilize is this slanted closet.
Right. And putting shelves in that closet, is that an option? Shelves or drawers in that closet rather than
I would love to have something built in for that. Like, I guess, like brackets or racks. There was a rack that was currently in there. It was like a really, this really flimsy sort of bracket with this sort of wooden crossbar that went across, and I put like some coats on it, and things came right out of the drywall. I said, no, this is not going to work. But the slanted part of the wall is a cement, so I'm thinking it could be anchored with something heavy and be secure. But I would need somebody to come in here to really know what they're doing. In
right.
Order to,
like,
how old is your house, Angela?
It's totally renovated, gutted, renovated, everything new.
But
everything.
How old is the house?
Built 1958.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she said cement. She's probably talking about plaster.
Could be plaster.
Yeah, could
right.
be plaster.
Yeah. Yeah. There are also designers that specialize in closet design and who could work with you, and they specifically focus on the storage specialists, you could call them.
Yeah.
You mean like, what is that, like Elfin or something like that?
One is called Closet Factory. There's also Closets by Design.
Okay.
California Closets are on the higher end, so if you're on a budget, probably, you know, don't want to go in that direction. But you can also even check out what places like Home Depot and the Container Store have to offer.
Okay.
Okay, we say higher end. Are you able to give me like a roundabout number?
A lot of money.
You guys are funny.
Yeah, yeah, but we don't want to be funny with your money.
Is it like $3,000?
Oh, much, much more than that. Yeah, there.
It depends on how large your closet is. Really, if your closet is, you know, merely, you know, 4 by 4 feet, you know,
maybe not. I mean, how big is the closet?
It's a good size closet. That's the thing. That's the thing that frustrates me. It's sizable. Yeah. It's deep. It pushes back. I have a few things in boxes that I've pushed back. It's just the slant. It's just, like I said, the slanted part I'm not utilizing very well.
Yeah, well, I would imagine if you spend that kind of money, you probably want to live in the closet, huh? That's something to think about. Angela, thank you so much. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Belinda, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Belinda. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just want to say I had an experience with an interior decorator like last year,
mm-hmm.
and for some window treatments, and I picked out what I wanted, but I think she should have told me that what I like wouldn't be the best thing because I get a lot of sunlight, and I'm thinking now, after a couple of years or whatever, I might start seeing some deteriorating because I get so much sun, and I just thought she should have, you know, tried to steer me away from that or even mention that. I wasn't even thinking. You know, you see something you like and you don't even think about the consequences of what you like sometimes.
Style versus what is practical. I think that's what she's talking about.
Right. And one of the things that I mentioned earlier was when you decide to work with a professional, to try to do your due diligence to determine whether or not they have the expertise to advise you. Because
supposedly she did. I mean,
well, For example, there are fabrics such as linen, such as some cottons and definitely silks that if you hang them in the sun, they will degrade and they won't last and look the same 10 years, sometimes even 5 years later. So you do want to be careful about the materials and textiles that you use depending on the area of the home.
Right. Yeah. I'm finding that out now, but. You know, hopefully they'll last more than 5 years, but I don't know because I do get direct sun into the living room. Mm-hmm. And
I guess that goes back to making sure that you have a good relationship with the person that is decorating your home. It's kind of like, I guess, designers have to have good bedside manner.
Yeah, you're
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then one other thing I was dealing with, because I redecorated my living room area, and I like what they call the glam look now.
The look?
Glam.
Oh, glam. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Weird, you know, type things. But my house is an older house, split level on the outside. And initially I was like, well, the outside of my house, does it need to actually, you know, go with the inside of the house?
That's a great question.
My philosophy is that it does not. I've done very contemporary interiors in very traditional houses, and also the reverse. So basically, the main thing to keep in mind is that it's you who live in the house. So just make sure that you are designing it in a way that makes you happy. It's not about trying to do what everybody else is doing. And I also, you know, try to advise people to be very careful about comparing their home to someone else's home because their style may not be yours. But no, I don't think that those two things are mutually exclusive.
Belinda, thank you so much and good luck.
Thank you.
When we come back, I want to talk about renovations. What should you do to increase the value of your home? And also unique ways to decorate your homes, such as what are you going to put on the walls? Should you paint the ceiling? We'll talk about all of that in just a bit. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about beautifying your home without breaking the bank. We're talking about renovating and decorating, and we have a bunch of experts around the table. I want to talk about renovations when you're knocking out walls and things like that, Megan. If someone wants to increase the value of their home, whether they're planning on selling it or perhaps just just want it to have good value.
Sure.
Where should they start, and what's the best couple of ideas, and which are the worst?
Sure. I would say the two rooms in the home that will add value to your, in terms of resale, are the kitchen and the bathroom. And because if they are quote unquote dated, they will bring down that value. So think about if you have cabinets from 1970 and countertops from the same time. Just imagine if you're a homeowner or a home buyer and you go in there, you're going to say, no, this has to be redone. So I would say consider redoing those rooms, and also consider doing it in a way that will appeal to as many people as possible.
What do you mean by that?
Meaning if orange is your favorite color, don't choose orange cabinets, orange backsplash, orange everything, because that's your favorite color, but probably not someone else's. So think nice neutrals, things that someone else can come in 5-10 years down the road, or whenever it is that you're going to sell it, and they can add their stamp to it, but it won't be so customized to you that someone will say, well, this is lovely, this is brand new, and they spent, you know, $100,000 on these beautiful Italian cabinets that are orange. I don't want orange. And then...
And Rococo.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Nobody has time for that. definitely not. So now Sean, I know that some people would consider that there are rules for decorating. And then you may say, well, whatever you like is what you like. But I've heard that people say, don't paint the ceiling, no matter, you know, whatever else you're doing with the rest of the house. And also one of the things a friend of mine has done recently, and I just think it is amazing, but I don't know whether or not it would go for every home. She has put faux suede wallpaper or wall covering, and it is exquisite looking. I just think that is just amazing. Mm-hmm. So first of all, talk to me a little bit about to paint or not to paint the ceiling. And if you do, how should you do it? And what about wall coverings aside from paint? What would you suggest?
Actually, I think painting the walls is excellent. It's up to you. I think it brings a little bit more character to
what
a room.
About the ceiling, though?
The ceiling. I think it brings a lot of character to a room, especially a bedroom, a dining room, using sometimes crown molding and fabric. I find that to be very appealing, and also bringing in that fabulous look and making it kind of your personal stamp, as you said, Megan. But as far as painting, I think Lorna has more experience about that. I'm more, yes, I would love to paint the ceiling or add to the ceiling. There's so many different things you could do that would make it just, I think, give it a sense of elegance that we normally don't see in a home. Mm-hmm. So it's really up to you. It's up to your taste. And then also, too, what are you trying to portray? I mean, your home is, I think, really a reflection of you. So it's up to you.
What do you think about wall coverings, Lorna? Is that old-fashioned, or are there kind of more progressive, more modern ways to cover a wall outside of just painting it?
I have to admit that wall covering is my little secret. Mm-hmm. If I want to make a big impact in a room, I'm going to get a beautiful patterned wall covering. It might be fabric, it might be paper, it might have some metallic flecks in it. but it's a big impact item, but it is a low budget number. So that's the great thing about it. You can really make a big difference in a room. Regarding the ceilings, and I even put wallpaper on ceilings. The only time I'm reluctant to paint a ceiling or to put wallpaper on it is if the ceilings are very low. If they're low, then I'll keep them white to make them look like they're not lower than they actually mm-hmm. are.
What about wallpaper? One of the things I've heard is that if you have a pattern, you really have to have someone know what they're doing, because if the patterns do not match, then it looks, I think the technical term is yucky.
Well, I will say there is something to that, yes. And I would say, you know, if the wallpaper is pricey, then, you know, it's more important to definitely bring a professional in. And if there's heavy patterning, absolutely. But there are also these great wallpapers that are available now, and they're removable. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I know the millennials now, they tend to be more in apartments. So there are these peel and stick wall coverings that are gorgeous, and you can put them up when it's time to leave. You take them down, or if you change your mind, you know, you switch to something else. But it's a really good option to make the space look interesting.
Yes, I think it's awesome, because I actually have used a sticker in my apartment. Mm-hmm. I actually have a, because I love the cherry blossoms, so I have this huge cherry blossom going over top of my bed, which people are like, oh, wow, what did you, who painted that? I'm like, it's a sticker.
Mm-hmm.
It can come off. So it is awesome to use.
I would say, in terms of considering wallpaper or wall coverings being old fashioned, not at all. I'm working on a project, Pike and Rose, for Federal Realty, and there's the IPIC Theater at the development. They have a crocodile green covered wall right off of the elevators, and it is phenomenal. It is totally unexpected, and some listeners are probably thinking, hold on, what are you talking about? It's just, it's a really vibrant, wonderful color, tremendous texture, and it just gives such a sense, such impact when you're in that space. So it's not, you know, quote unquote, grandma's, you know, rose wallpaper, which can be wonderful, but this is a very modern, very contemporary, very edgy example of wall coverings, like your friend that you were talking about with the mm-hmm. faux suede.
Yeah, I think it's really, really beautiful. You know, the thing that bothers me, my grandfather was an upholsterer, and I worked with him when I was a kid, and I learned a lot about furniture. Let us say they just don't make furniture the way they used to. And the kinds of furniture that I helped him reupholster now that was moderately priced nowadays is really, really expensive. So where do you find decent furniture with real springs in the cushion and cotton stuffing, and not just foam rubber or burlap webbing in the bottom, or solid cherry or maple? I mean, do you have to go to an antique store or a thrift store to get that kind of quality stuff at a decent price?
You had to throw that in at the
yeah,
end.
Yeah, there's
you?
That.
Mm-hmm. Good so well.
I may look like a million, but I'm your budget buddy. Trust me.
So. Your piggy bank is going to have 2 feet when we're finished.
So where do you shop for decent furniture at a decent price?
Honestly, there aren't a whole lot of outlets in this area that offer high quality construction at a low price.
Do you have to go to North Carolina?
North Carolina is not a bad idea. And you can peruse some of that those offerings like online. You know, just look in advance, and you can buy them online, and they'll ship them right back here to you. The other thing to do is just to watch the sales that the better stores have. A lot of times they'll have them around Memorial Day or Labor Day weekends. And you can get great quality items for a lower price, particularly the ones that are discontinued.
Mm-hmm. Something to think about. I only have a few minutes left. I want to get a good tip from each and every one of you for decorating or renovating. So, Megan, what is your best tip for those who are thinking about renovating?
Sure. I would say, especially if you're new to the space, live in it for a little while. Get comfortable with it. See how it feels from day to night. change in light, change of season? Do you find yourself gravitating more towards the windows, maybe in the winter when you want some sun? But really live in that space and then work with a designer, work with a professional who is going to help curate that space for you and design that space for the way that you live. Rather than you trying to fit yourself into a design, let the design be built around you, and a good professional will do that.
Okay, that I like that. What about you, Lorna?
I completely agree with that. I think personalization is one of the most important things that you can take into consideration for your design. And if you can just remember this one thing, which is to try to incorporate one or two things in the room that are difficult for anyone else to duplicate.
What do you mean by that?
That could be something that you created. It could be something that you found on your travels somewhere in Raleigh, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. But you brought it back. It's special to you. And it would be very, very hard for somebody else to find that and put that in their home. That's what makes your home special.
Okay, Sean, what do you think? What's your best piece of advice?
My best piece of advice is actually to enjoy the experience. Make it something that is not frustrating. Some people don't like to shop, but unfortunately, no one's going to come in and just bring you everything that you imagined. I think it's important that you just go out there and take your time and be gentle with yourself. And just also know that, you know, the world wasn't built in one day. Mm-hmm. It took some time. And so just enjoy your experience.
Yeah, I like that. Great advice. And I think, you know, in 2017, I think one of the key words for any decorating, whether you live in an apartment or a house, it's chaise. Chaise. Get yourself a chaise lounge. Right?
Put your feet up.
Put your feet up. There you go. And have an adult beverage. There you go. There you go. Lorna Gross Bryant, Megan Brown, Sean Clark, thank you all so much. I really appreciate it. Happy decorating and thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you so much.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, May 4th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or at DailyDrumWHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 1.